We need to remember that diversity is our strength.
Holding us back, diversity holding us back. I want you to look at the fruits of this crap. Why did we put up with blacks? Murder and rape, tell me it's just how they're raised. Rabbis who want us replaced, want our invaders to stay. Oh, in this world filled with muds, you know they're not the same as us. In this world filled with muds, you know they're not the same as us.
Slow down. Slow the fuck down. Is this actually happening? Are we live? Am I live? Is it real? Is it real? I'm not listening to myself. Probably should. It's been so long since I've been on the streaming horse. I got to get all the kinks worked out here. Make sure all the platforms are working. So we're still going out. We're still going out. We're going out to Odyssey. We're going out to GTV. We're going out to FTJ. And you know why? Because they're three platforms that allow me to bring a pro-white message with pro-white content. Doesn't get much simpler than that now, does it? I remember when I was out in the hills, I remember meeting a guy who, him and his girl and their kids, they were successful. They were successful people. They worked hard as fuck. And they worked hard in multiple portions of life. On the business front, on the home front. They worked hard in their community. And I remember showing up for work, you know, I was just a young buck, eager to kick ass, you know, eager to make my claim and get my property and have my family. And I remember being just so full of emotion and energy and willingness to work and strive. And I remember them picking up on that energy. They were a very connected, intelligent couple. And I remember the gentleman pulling me aside one day and going, "You got the heart. You've got the intelligence. But what are you in this for? I could hire two guys for the cost that I'm paying you. But what is it that you want? What's going to make you successful? And how are you going to feel about what you need to do to be successful?" And he taught me something that I hadn't learned from anybody else, which was KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. And I went, you know, that's pretty smart. So that's why I'm on Odyssey. I'm on GTV. I'm on FTJ. And this little piece here, this little stream has helped me personally to get things out. It's helped some other people that I've seen come and go through my chats and conversations with each other. And so we're going to keep a positive vibe around here. And we're going to play some stuff that's going to be a little bit difficult today. And I remember watching a Dr. Pierce documentary, right, where he wasn't like being able to get his book published again because the Jews owned all the publishing houses. And I remember this Jew bragging about how he's the one who went against his whole board to reprint the Turner Diaries, right? And how he was going to give a percentage of all the books he sold to the ADL. And you know what? Dr. Pierce let him print the book. So I guess, fuck him. We got to throw Dr. Pierce out of the movement too. You know, and then Dr. Pierce had his opinions about optics and about all of this. So we got to throw him. We got to just chuck him. Chuck all of anybody who ever did anything that we never didn't like and we can do. Anyways, you get what I mean?
Very often they are defective people. Either they are people who simply can't function successfully in society, that is, they are losers or antisocial misfits looking for company, or they are escapists or adventurers who don't really want to serve our cause, but who are looking for some politically incorrect diversion, some politically incorrect self-gratification, and they hope that we will be able to provide that gratification for them. And that's the last thing in the world that we want to do. It's not just that these people who have the wrong motivations generally provide us with little benefit. They are poison to us because they drive away from us the people who really can be useful to us, the people who really can and will serve our cause. This is something that is obvious to many of the people that we want, but it took me a few years to learn the hard way to shun hobbyists, to have zero tolerance for people who like to dress up in uniforms and shout 1488 and give Roman salutes to TV cameras. And I suspect that there still are a few Alliance people who haven't yet developed zero tolerance for these freaks. And that's why I harp on the subject so often. Ultimately, we need many more people than we have now, but we need winners, not losers. If we begin tolerating the losers now for the sake of having more people, we never will get the winners. And then we ourselves will become losers. You know, people who talk about fighting the enemy in the streets really aren't interested in winning. They just get a buzz from talking about fighting the enemy in the streets. Their talk is pure self-indulgence, pure hobbyism. We're a long, long way from the point where we'll be able to gain any advantage in the streets. We may want to have a security force for certain functions before then. But what will be notable about that security force, besides character and commitment, will be discipline and skill, not beer bellies and tattoos. To sum it up, the alliance has no interest at all in the so-called movement. We're not interested in uniting with the movement, and we're not interested in competing with the movement for members. If anything, we should be grateful that the movement is out there to soak up a lot of the freaks and weaklings who otherwise might find their way into the alliance and make problems for us. In this regard, I was sorry to note that both Aryan Nations and the Church of the Creator have, for all practical purposes, died within the last few weeks, because those groups used to be magnets for people that we prefer to avoid. We can only hope that two or three replacement groups will spring up to take the place of Aryan Nations and the Church of the Creator, and once again draw away from us some of the defectives.
We must talk. Jews' open borders immigration policy, the Jews' push to increase the rate of interracial marriage between whites and non-whites, about what the Jews have done to our schools, about the Jewish control of our news and entertainment media, about the Jewish grip on our government, about the Jews' corruption of our politicians, and about the Jews' ongoing theft of our national wealth.
I've gotta keep the calm before the storm. I don't want less, I don't want more. Must bar the windows and the doors to keep me safe, to keep me warm. Yeah, my life is worth. Can't reach the shore, and my voice becomes the driving force. I won't let this pull me overboard. God, keep my head above water. Don't let me drown. It gets harder. I'll meet you there at the altar as I fall down to. So pull me up from down below, 'cause I'm underneath the undertow. Come dry me off and hold me close. I need you now, I need you most.
But if you still have some sense of being a part of something larger and more permanent than yourself, if you still have a sense of racial identity, a sense of kinship with a larger family of fellow Europeans, of fellow white men and women with whom you share traditions and values and a way of looking at the world, if you value the civilization your ancestors built over the last 5,000 years, If you think of it as your civilization, you already know the answer. You already know the answer. You already know the answer.
Queers and Jews and blacks and mestizos and liberals are running America into the ground today is that decent people are sitting on their hands. It is time, my fellow white men and women, for us to stop worrying about anything except doing what is right. It is time for us to accept our responsibilities. We must talk about the Jews' open border.
Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1998. How to improve our souls.
Hello. Perhaps you won't mind if today I just share a few thoughts with you about where our people are now and where we're headed. Instead of doing my usual news analysis, one of the things I've complained about often is that when so many terribly destructive things are happening to us, most of our people are simply remaining as spectators, refusing to lift a hand against the enemies who certainly will destroy us if we permit them. We have Bill Clinton in the White House, the clearest proof there could be that the present political system in America, the system by which we choose our legislators and our governmental executives, has gone completely haywire. We simply cannot have people like Bill Clinton as president and the gang of criminals in the Congress making our laws and expect America to survive. Hundreds of thousands of responsible men and women should rise up in righteous wrath against Washington and its system, but they don't. Or consider immigration. It is destroying America. Much of California and Florida have been transformed from white to non-white areas during the past couple of decades, and the same thing is happening in many other parts. Country. Areas which used to be clean, decent, and white have become third world jungles. Millions of people realize what is happening, but very few are willing to do anything about it except move to a whiter suburb. Most white Americans are even afraid to say anything about the darkening of America from fear of being denounced as racists by the loudmouthed, bullying forces of political correctness. The Clinton government realizes that most of the people who don't like what is happening to America are suffering from moral paralysis at this time and will not rebel, no matter what the government does. And so the government keeps our borders open, knowing that every non-white immigrant is another supporter of the Clinton system and to hell with the country. The schools are another indicator of America's illness. I've spoken on other programs about specific aspects of the school problem: a lack of order and discipline, lower standards, falling performance. The schools have become so bad that even the government is worried about them. But of course, no one can fix them because no one is willing to address the real problems behind the failure of the schools. The feminists and the egalitarians and the multiculturalists are instantly ready, with the support of the controlled media, to attack anyone who questions what they and their doctrines have done to the schools. And so the great social experiment in the schools goes on, with the pioneers of the New World Order laboring to condition the next generation of young Americans to be happy consumers in a more diverse and egalitarian society. And if occasionally the brainwashing doesn't take and the kiddies become alienated to the point that one or two of them decide to blow away a dozen or so of their classmates and teachers, why then clearly what's needed is even more diversity and more metal detectors at the schoolhouse doors. The clearest indicator that we have a very serious problem is in our people themselves. The young boys who wear backward baseball caps and baggy shorts and ape black speech and manners because they've been watching MTV and believe that it's cool to dress and behave like blacks. Then there are the college girls who slavishly follow every fashion in attire and grooming, no matter how ugly or silly, and every fashion in ideas, no matter how foolish or destructive. What's cool or fashionable or smart for our young people is whatever the Jews of Hollywood or Madison Avenue dream up and present to them in a slick and glitzy package. All too often, the Jews who are corrupting our young people have the eager assistance of fools or traitors from among those of us old enough to know better, and not just the politicians. Bill Gates's Microsoft Corporation buys full-page magazine advertisements promoting racial mixing. Bill Gates has enough money that he doesn't have to do that to please the Jews. Perhaps the most disgusting example of this sort that I have encountered recently is a new Hollywood film called Bullworth. It's produced, directed, and acted in by actor Warren Beatty. Beatty always has been a limousine liberal who fancies himself a philosopher and a revolutionary as well as an actor. He likes to play far-left roles, both in films and in real life. Back when the Black Panthers were chic, Beatty was one of their patrons. He's sort of a male Jane Fonda. There's nothing Jewish about him, except the ideas and causes he promotes. In Bullworth, he plays a suicidal politician with a few loose screws who finds salvation in racial mixing. Beatty is the type of idiot who professes the belief that blacks are somehow more honest and authentic and noble than whites, and that blacks have a lot to offer white society. He thinks that a mass rape of white women by blacks might be a good way to improve our society and at the same time solve the race problem, so long as he can watch from his limousine and offer philosophical observations. People like Beatty wouldn't be dangerous, of course, if the Jewish media didn't encourage them and provide them with a way to infect impressionable young whites with their sick notions. It is a fact, of course, that the majority of our young people take their cues from the Jewish media, if not from Sumner Redstone's MTV or Steven Spielberg's propaganda films, then from a television comedy series or slick magazine advertising or a politically correct comic book, or from a piece of filth like Warren Beatty's Bullworth. What we see around us today are the consequences of the ideas, the policies, the attitudes, and the fashions pushed by the Jews in the media for the past 60 years or so. They began very cautiously, gradually trying to make interracial sex seem trendy and smart, just as they began very carefully promoting the acceptance of homosexuality and trying to make feminism seem normal and reasonable. But today they are 1,000 times more blatant than they were just 20 years ago. There is hardly a film coming from Hollywood today, or a television series, or an advertising campaign in a slick magazine, which doesn't promote one aspect or another of the Jewish agenda on race or sex. So perhaps in this pervasive influence of the Jewish media, we can see the reason for the passivity of our people in the face of their imminent destruction. The Jewish poison paralyzes the will before it kills the body. And if that is so, is not our situation hopeless? Well, you know what the Jews are doing in America. They also are doing elsewhere, in Britain and in France and in Germany and in Russia and in a dozen other countries. Now, the situation is a little different in each of these other countries.